Thank you, brother. God bless you, brother.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Hey, y'all, wasn't that good? God bless you, brother. Amen. 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 It is good to be here tonight. Thank God for the awesome privilege of being in his house. Take your Bibles tonight. Turn with me. Guess what? Not the Second Chronicles. Amen. Stand with me as we honor the reading of God's word tonight. Find St. John chapter 9. St. John chapter 9 tonight. St. John chapter 9. I want to begin reading tonight in verse 1. St. John chapter 9, verse number 1. Everybody got it?
Amen.
Amen. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, "Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither had this man sin, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." That's key. That's important. That the works of God may be made manifest in him. Verse 4 says, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night comes when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. That's all. He spit. Made clay and then put it in this man's face. Verse 7 says, "And he said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore. He washed and came seeing." Yeah. Amen. Let's pray tonight. Father, thank you so much for this great crowd who have come to worship you. Now, I pray, God, in the name of Jesus, that this time would not be wasted, nor would it be vain. But, Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts and give us a word that we can understand in these last days. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. You may be seated tonight. When I look at this text, I want to tell you that there's so much here that grabs your attention, so much here that overwhelms you from just these few verses. But I want to spend the majority of our short time tonight talking about the grace of God. The Bible speaks of two types of blindness. There is physical blindness. It's the kind of blindness that keeps you or keeps a person who suffer with that disease from seeing the awesomeness of God's creation. A person that is born blind is a person who have never had the privilege of seeing the beauty of a sunrise or the awesomeness of a sunset. They live their whole lives because they're in darkness, in physical darkness. They live their whole lives and They can never identify people by what they look like, but only by what they sound like. A person who is born physically blind is robbed of the opportunity to see how awesome our God is in creation. That's the kind of blindness that Stevie Wonder experienced. It's the kind of blindness that Ray Charles lives with. And you say, oh, Brother Anthony, what a terrible disease to live your whole life and never be able to see anything, any of the beauty and any of the awesomeness that's displayed from our Creator. That's a terrible disease, and I agree. But folks, I want to tell you tonight that there is a second blindness that the Bible talks about that's far worse than physical blindness. Amen. It's spiritual blindness. Amen. In physical blindness, you're robbed of the privilege of seeing the awesomeness of His creation. But in spiritual blindness, you're robbed of seeing the awesomeness of His goodness and grace. Amen. The person who is spiritually blind, it's a person who cannot see how good God is. A person who is spiritually blind cannot see how much they need a personal relationship with the God of creation. And so the Bible talks much about blindness. In fact, really, to be honest, Jesus perhaps dealt more with blindness than he did any other disease while he was here. Because Jesus wanted us to understand that regardless of how well everything else is working in your life, if you are blind, you're headed for trouble. I thank God for grace. I thank God for grace because, listen, the old song says, by His grace, I can see now. I once was blind, but now I see, and it's because of the grace of God. Amen. Tonight, I want to try to take these few verses and show you a little bit about the grace of God. Look in verse number one with me. And I just want us to stay with these verses, just a simple Bible study tonight. But if you're going to take notes, write this down. Number one, grace causes God to pass in our direction. Grace causes God to come toward us rather than go away from us. The Bible says that, listen, if you go back to chapter 8, the Bible tells us that the religious folks had just run Jesus out of the temple. Now, they didn't run him out. He left because his time was not yet. But listen, he had had a head-on collision with religious folks.
Come on.
You know them kind of folks. them self-righteous folks. Them folks that's always right and never wrong. He had a head-on collision with the religious leaders, and the Bible says that they picked up stones to stone the Lord Jesus Christ, but he hid himself and got away from them. And the Bible says that while he was on his way out of the temple, he passed by. Thank God he passed by. He passed by. Now, I want you to underline the fact that he passed by. That's significant. That's important. Because what John wants us to understand, that Jesus was on the move. John wants us to understand that the window of opportunity for this blind man to get his healing was a limited one. He passed by. He did not come to that point in his life to stay.
He was not, listen, he had no intentions of getting bogged down and tied down right there. If the blind man wanted the blessing that God wanted to give him, he had to receive it when God wanted to give it to him. You say, Anthony, man, where in the world are you going with this? Jesus is passing by. And listen, and here's what you got to understand. There is no guarantee that he'll ever come this way again. Listen, there is no guarantee that this blind man who's sitting there blind and begging, there is no guarantee that Jesus will ever come in this direction again. You know what scares me? What scares me is that there are people who set up in the church Sunday in and Sunday out, and they listen to good preaching and they listen to good teaching, and the Holy Spirit is convicting them and moving upon the altar of their heart, and rather than make a decision, they put forth a delay. And they are saying, I'll do it next week. I get saved next week. I rededicate next week. I make it right next week. When the Bible clearly teaches us that today is the day of salvation. And tomorrow belongs to eternity. The first thing that I want you to see from this text is that grace causes God to go in our direction. Sovereign grace is an amazing thing. Because listen, God was looking for us before we were looking for him. In fact, if God had not passed our way, we would have never got in the right place in life. The first thing, listen, and we'll rush to close, but listen, the first thing I want you to see, listen, is that Jesus passed by. I thank God. I thank God tonight that there is enough abundant grace in him that causes him to pass in the direction of a sinner like me. Amen. Folks, I want to tell you, about 33 years ago, I was lost and undone. I was not fit to live. I was in no shape to die. I'm telling you, I was a mess headed for a bigger mess. But Jesus Christ came by. He came by. Amen. Here's the second thing I want you to see. Grace causes God to see us even when we can't see him. Grace causes God to look upon us even when we can't see him. You got to understand the beauty of this text. This is a blind man. Listen, he can't see his hand before his face, let alone see Jesus headed in his direction. This man is blind. And I want to tell you, listen, before you and I come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we're blinded. Listen, we're blinded by sin. We're blinded by Satan, and many times we're blinded by our suffering. Have you ever been to a place of suffering and pain in your life, listen, that you were hurting so bad that goodness of God was all around you, but you couldn't see it? Thank God. Tonight, the grace of God, not only causes God to pass in our direction, but it also causes God to see us in our mess. Look at verse number 1. And Jesus passed by, and he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin? This man or his parents, that he should be born blind? And Jesus answers the question, and we'll deal with that in just a minute, but I want to show you something in verse number 6. Go down with me to verse number 6, because here's the third point that I want you to see tonight. Grace, listen, grace causes God to pass in our direction. You remember what the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 5? He said, when we were yet without strength, in due time, Jesus Christ came and he died for us. Listen, what makes grace so awesome is that, listen, grace didn't wait till we got right. Grace didn't wait until we got healthy. Grace didn't wait till we made a change. Listen, while we were yet in our sins and while we were yet lost and undone, Jesus Christ, out of the grace of God, he came and died for us. I'm thankful tonight that grace causes God to come in my direction. I'm thankful that grace causes God to see me even when I can't see him. But here's the third thing I want you to see. I'm glad that grace causes God to reach out and help us even when we can't help ourselves. Grace causes God to act first for our good. Now I want you to think about that. Now listen, just think about that for a minute. Listen, the grace of God causes God to act first on our behalf. I want you to know in this text that this man was not looking for Christ, but Christ came looking for him. This man did not see Christ, but Christ seen him. This man did not call out to Christ, but rather Christ reached out to him. That's what the grace of God does. You see, for a long time, I thought I found the Lord. But the truth of the matter is, the Lord found me. For a long time, I thought I was seeking him. But the truth of the matter is, he was seeking me way before I started seeking him. Oh, what an awesome God we serve. I thank God for grace tonight, because grace, listen to me, grace enables God and it causes God to reach out to us and to help us even when we can't help ourselves, even when we can't see what we need, even when we don't ask for it, he still reaches out. Here's the fourth thing tonight. This making sense? Amen. Here's the fourth thing. When grace begins to work in your life, it will always require an act of faith. You see, look, listen to this. Grace is freely extended. But in order to receive it and enjoy it, you got to act by faith. Amen. Jesus says to the sinner, he said, I'll save you. I will forgive you your sins. I will wash you clean. I will make you whole. But then he says, will you trust me? Will you come to me? I want you to look with me tonight in verse 7 as we rush on to a close. In verse 6, the Bible said, and when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And then in verse number 7, and he said unto him, go, wash in the pool of Siloam. He went his way, therefore, and he washed, and he came seeing. Listen, I know, and you guys know, because I've tried to teach you this, and you knew this before I got here, that we are saved by grace alone. Yes, sir. We're saved. Listen, we're not saved by our works. We're not saved by any good deed that we do. We're saved by grace alone. But if you want grace to kick in your situation, it's going to require you to step out in faith. Now, I want you to think about this for a minute. We'll go home. Listen, I want you to think about how foolish this man must have felt. He's human just like we is. Here comes a man who walks up, who he didn't even invite into his life. He just shows up. He spits on the ground and he makes some clay and he anoints his eyes with the clay that he had made and tells him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. For some of us great thinkers, for some of us intellectuals, let me tell you what we would have did. We would have got caught up in the method and we would have missed the results. And so Jesus said, go wash. And the Bible said, listen, the Bible said in verse 7, he went, he washed, and he came back seeing. Because you know what Jesus is looking for? He's just looking for somebody, the Bible called, that will believe him. Somebody who would just put their faith in his amazing grace. Last thing tonight. Write this down because I think it's really important. Three things. Number one, the results are more important than the method. Amen. You see, if I'm not careful, I get caught up in the method rather than praising God for the results. And what messes us up sometimes is when God come along and do the same thing in our life that he did in my brother's life, but he does it a different way. You do understand that this is not the only man that Jesus healed of blindness. That there was others. Blind Bartimaeus, he just simply spoke to him and said, receive your sight, and he got his sight. To another man, he took him outside the temple and healed him. But to this man, he spit on the ground, made clay, and put the clay in his eyes and said, now you got to do something. You got to go wash in the pool of Siloam. See, let me tell you something. Now, here's how much you can tell how much you believe in the promises and the grace of God. What are you willing to act on? Amen. Don't tell me how much you believe the promise of God when you won't act on them. Three things. First one, the results is more important than the method. Here's number two. Sometimes people suffer because of sin. But then sometimes people suffer for the glory of God. Sometimes people suffer because of sin, but sometimes people suffer for the glory of God. I want you to go back with me to verse number 3. Because the disciples asked Jesus, and listen, they asked him an interesting question. They asked him, they said, Lord, who did sin? This man or his parents? Now watch this. That he was born blind. The key word there is born. Because what they were insinuating is that, now, either his parents did something awful bad and he is suffering the consequences of it. Parental sin. Sin of the parents passed down to the children. Or, if Jesus answered and said, no, his parents didn't sin. And just leave it there, then they would conclude in their mind, which was a popular Jewish teaching, they would conclude in their mind that this boy sinned even before he was born in the world. Amen. I want you to notice something. Jesus does not deal with that question very much. He simply says, neither his parents nor he have seen, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. And here's what Jesus is teaching him. He's teaching him that there is a suffering that is the result of sin, But not all suffering is because somebody has done something wrong and violated some principle of God. Sometimes God puts us in a hard place and God puts us in the midst of a struggle. And I did say God does it. God puts us in a hard place, not because he's angry with us, but because he wants to use us to bring glory and honor to his glorious name and to teach folks around us that nothing is too hard for our God. I told you, listen, I think this is really important. I told you, Jesus didn't deal with this much grief. He just simply made the statement in verse 3, and he moved on. He moved on. And I think there's a lesson that the Lord is trying to teach us here. The lesson is, don't spend so much time worrying about who messed up. Don't listen. We always looking for somebody to blame. See, my great granddaddy, his daddy's daddy. I mean, that's why I'm in this mess right here. We're always looking for somebody to blame, something to point to. And Jesus is teaching us, don't spend so much time worrying about how we got here. Spend your energy thinking out how you're going to get them out the mess.
Amen.
Did that make sense? Church always trying to figure out. Oh Lord, listen, if we were to spend as much time trying to figure out how we gonna solve this problem as who is to blame for this problem, we'd be a lot further up the road.
Come on. Amen.
So Jesus said, nobody sin. Just for the works, for the glory of God. Then he said, let's get busy. Let's do something to help this man. Final thing tonight that deserves much more time than what we're able to give it. But the final thing that Jesus says, I want you to look with me in verse 4 and 5. Because I think these are words of warning to us. He said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Here's the final lesson tonight that Jesus would have us to know. Time is running out. Amen. Let's make it personal. Your time and my time is running out. Jesus, listen, Jesus approached this situation. He approached this problem knowing that I got a set amount of time to accomplish a set amount of work. And then it's going to be over. And he says, I must work the works of him that sent me. Oh, God, you could just preach right there for days. I must work the works of him that sent me while it's day. Because the night is going to come. Day speaks of life on this planet. Night speaks of death out of this planet. And one of these days, you and I will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, and there will be no excuse that we could offer him as to why we didn't finish the work. None. When I was a kid growing up, we used to make mama mad. And when mama got real mad, Kathy, she just started giving you a whole list of stuff to do. That if you did it all before you went to bed, it'll be a week before you got a chance to sleep. And she did it knowing, she knew that we couldn't do it. And after a while, because God would really move on her heart, she would come back and she said, you done enough. You done enough. I'm going to tell you, God will never ask us to do what he have not equipped us to do, nor given us the time to do it. Tell you something else, Brother Terry, the mama would do. If you made her real mad, she tell you at 5 to go in there and wash them dishes. Dishes piled up everywhere. At 5:05, she come in and want to know why you ain't through with them dishes. Well, mama, I just got in here. That ain't no excuse. But I want to tell you something. Listen to me. If you ever heard anything that Brother Anthony told you in all your life, here it is. When me and you stand before God, there will not be any excuses that we can offer him. You know how I know that? Because his grace, which is more than enough, is available to us if we'll just take advantage of it.
Amen. Amen.
I thank God for grace. That same grace that have saved so many thousands, yes, will save you tonight. And that same grace that has brought fallen saints back to that place of reconciliation and restoration in the Lord has done it for me so many times. It'll do it for you tonight. I'm glad that nobody is beyond the grace of God.
Amen. Amen.
So if you're here tonight, never trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you can do it tonight. I'm telling you, you can get saved tonight. You don't have to make no appointment to get saved. You don't have to ask the deacons or the preacher permission to get saved. I'm telling you, you can get saved tonight. Or maybe you